Can't get enough Mummy Dearest? Double your content by subscribing to our Patreon. Subscriptions as low as $1 a month, because Zach and I are two cheap little hussies and we'll take what we can get. Now, on to the show. Welcome to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, a podcast where we used to talk about the mummy, but now we talk about other movies too.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s. And today, I'm Zach Mellon.
I am a very sleepy Sloan Steele.
We are coming at you hot.
Bright eyed, well, dead eyed, and what's dead-eyed, the opposite of bushy tail? Droopy tail.
Dead eyed and flat ass.
It is 8:29 a.m. on Saturday morning, sometime in the year 2022. And
I just want to set the tone. Like, usually when Sloan and I record, it's about a 4-hour process from when we say we're ready to when we actually record. And Sloan usually has, I don't know, like a dog walk, a kid to feed, school drop off.
Yeah.
She wants to start a fight with her husband, even though they're not fighting.
Yeah.
Something like
one.
Yeah. Like something is not, we're not ready. Like, usually we're ready, but we're not ready. I woke up this morning and walked from my bedroom into this room to record.
Sat right down in the pod studio.
Is the day after a day that will live in infamy. And I think I just made that up.
I think that's the Bill Pullman speech.
Mm, that's right. Yeah. Women are
second-class citizens.
Actually, I was going to say women are dogs now, but actually we can spay and neuter dogs.
Dogs have more rights. Dogs, you can choose whether or not your dog can procreate. But not women. Zach, it is like, it's such a unique sensation to be completely shocked, but also not at all surprised.
No.
It's like,
no. And here's the thing. And guys, I just, in case you're like, okay, I don't want to listen to this, like, cause you're going to get this a week after.
You're going to listen.
So you're probably wicked sick of hearing about it, but, we will get into the Sandlot in about 2 hours.
Yeah. Just hold, stand by.
You know, if fetuses are babies, right? If fetuses are humans, okay, they're walking, talking, we can't murder them because they're human babies. Mm-hmm. Can we take life insurance policies out on them?
My dad took a life insurance policy out on me
when you were a fetus.
As soon as I was born.
Because the difference is that when you're born, you're a person on Earth.
I guess he put me right to work. I don't really know how that.
So what I'm wondering is if a fetus at conception is considered a human that we cannot murder, can we start taking life insurance policies out, and then when you have a miscarriage?
I don't see why not.
Become a millionaire.
I think that we should start that business. If
a fetus is a baby, can women start getting, you know, like the tax rebates because they have a baby already? Or an abused pregnant woman can now when a man abuses a pregnant woman, now it's child abuse. No, or because they're not babies, right?
No, I think that should work. And don't forget that pregnancy is also considered a pre-existing condition. So,
okay. So they're babies, but they're not babies.
It's like when people love the Bible and it's like they just kind of pick and choose the passages that work the best. Or like when people love the Constitution and they're just sort
when
of
you
like.
When you speak of the Bible, are you referring to the book that old white men wrote?
I'm referring to Confessions of an Heiress by Paris Hilton. That's my personal Bible.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Class with the Countess.
I mean, that's like the New Testament. There's the Old Testament, right. That's Paris. New Testament is Luann. So
you're right.
Those are my Bibles. When Kourtney Kardashian says Bible, that's what she's talking about. I just like, yeah, I mean, it's a really, I was very upset yesterday.
Happy 4th, everybody. This is our 4th of July episode.
Wow.
I pledge allegiance. Sloan and I will now instead of like the intro, we're going to start doing the pledge.
Yeah, we're going to do the pledge and we're going to just play very patriotic music over. Instead of Mommy Dearest, it'll just be, what are some America songs? Like, America.
For beautiful, for spacious skies. For I haven't unallergied yet. I didn't even take my allergy pill yet. I like hopped up out the bed, turned my swag on.
Oh my God. I mean, you keep saying that, so it must be true.
Hop up out the bed, turn my swag on. Pay no attention to them haters because they tripping.
So we are here today to discuss, what year was it?
It was April 7th, 1993.
Wow, that seems like a long time ago.
That was longer than I thought, because we had just done Now and Then, and that was 95. And
this is like 78 years ago.
This is 78 years ago when women could get abortions.
We had more rights back then. We're going,
yeah.
I don't really understand. It is the year 2022, and yet.
Is it?
Well, I don't really have any rights. It's just kind of, I mean, listen, the thing is, someone like me, I'm always able to abort. No problem.
Yeah,
like that's the thing, guys, if you don't understand, like,
well, you say affect... always, but you know, the way things are looking, it doesn't look like options will be available to us for much longer.
No, I think
did you hear about the 100-mile radius thing?
Mm-mm.
So if you live within 100 miles of a border, which also is the ocean,
mm-hmm. I can go drown my child in there.
Your home can be searched and seized without any explanation.
Oh, in case they just suspect I have a baby that they'd like to make sure they take me to the breeding
harboring
colony.
If you're harboring a brown person.
Okay, or, yeah. a gay man.
Yeah, so if you live within 100 miles of a national border or an ocean, which I do,
I had to look on a map the other day to realize that Georgia even had a coastline. So I'm not the one to ask
from that.
Yeah. It's sad.
If anyone should be able to have an abortion, it's
me.
It's you.
Cause that baby is coming out dumb as a doornail, dumb, stupid, on drugs.
So that includes 9 out of 10 of the United States' most populous cities.
Which are all elitist coastal libs.
Exactly.
That love abortion. We love abortion. We love to have them.
So if you are gay, a woman, brown, this is our last Hot Girl Summer.
This is your swan song.
Carol Radziwill was right when she said she had 5 summers left, because we haven't had a good summer in about 3 years. So
no. And they also fast forwarded June. Like June was like,
June was whoa. The least June, Hannah.
This June was not June-ing like the rest of the June.
This was
at all.
The not June-ing like any June I've ever June'd.
And July, what's going to happen in July?
We're going to celebrate this nation.
Every year. It's more and more like a morning than a, like a mourn, not like a AM,
you know,
like
I know what you mean. I have to give credit to the Bravo meme makers because, you know, with the quickness, I mean, a beat does not skip with these people.
No, they're ready to go with the memes.
You what know did, that they, give us? They gave us Sutton with the background of the national anthem where she says, I cannot celebrate this song.
I can't. It's like, it's very frightening to live in a country that really feels like I'm in the movie Pleasantville and I somehow went back in time. Like I clicked on the TV and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm in Pleasantville. By the way, I don't know if there's any period tracker apps that are like open source and can't be tracked, et cetera, et cetera.
I've been hearing this.
Yeah. Apparently all of our period tracking apps will now be admissible as court evidence against us. And in Georgia,
been hearing this. They're saying, yeah, you have to delete them. And you also have to delete all of your cookies and data.
It's fucking crazy. You have to like, apparently you have to like request that the company swipes your data, which, by the way, like affects all these companies. And a lot of them are women-led companies that are now going to be in like serious peril because their entire platform can be used against us to send us to jail for having a baby or not having a baby. By the way, in Georgia, it's six. It's going to be 6 weeks.
In prison?
No. Six weeks.
Oh.
If you're 6 weeks pregnant and you have a shmushmortion.
Wait a minute. So they're allowing it within the 6 weeks?
No. They're saying like anything over 6 weeks is like you're going to jail. That was very confusing what I just said. No one knows unless you're trying to get pregnant. There's not a woman in the history of the United States or the world that knows she's pregnant at 6 weeks. It doesn't happen. Like you barely feel unless you're looking for it.
Or unless like my friend who was cleaning her bathroom and had one pregnancy test left over and she was like, I guess I'll take it.
Yes. Like that's it.
Yeah.
No one knows they're pregnant at 6 weeks unless they're really actively trying or they happen to just piss on a stick.
Or you've been vomiting for like 3 weeks.
But you won't be by then. That's the whole thing.
Oh, like
So 6 weeks pregnant is very
So just
different.
So everybody knows, what I just did was I assumed something happened during a pregnancy because I'm a man, I can't get pregnant. So I assumed, so I don't know anything about it, but I do think that I should make laws. I do think that it is up to me.
It is definitely up to you.
Yeah, I think that
you
it
know
is,
what's best.
I think I know what's best for you idiots. Titty-its
with little small women brains, stupid little small teeny tiny brains. They can't do things.
Yeah.
So the way that
areola brains.
Areola brains. The way that pregnancy works is they start counting it from. How do I explain this? Basically, when you're 6 weeks pregnant, you're literally like 1 week pregnant. It's just from your cycle has been missed.
Because you're really 10 months pregnant. You're not 9 months pregnant.
This is going to sound very Phaedra Parks explaining her pregnancy and how far along she is. She's like, well, child, I don't know. But when you're six.
You think that woman was a lesbian?
I watched it all. I'll mention it all. So when a woman is 6 weeks pregnant, she's really only been pregnant for like a week. They just count it from like the last cycle. So it's like you weren't really pregnant for that last 4 weeks. You were in your dirt. That was your entire menstrual cycle. So you're really only pregnant for a few days, which is why you wouldn't even really have any, like you wouldn't really be vomiting by 6 weeks. I mean, some women do. Some women are very sensitive, but most women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And people are probably on here like, Sloan, none of this is true. You're not a doctor. And to that I say, prove it.
Right.
Prove that I'm not.
Also, everybody, I live in Rhode Island where you can still get an abortion. So
will you harbor DM us? Me.
Of course.
Okay, well, this is going to be used in court against you.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then you're going to be strung up. All right. Anyway, so we're covering the Sandlot. A golden age in America. We need to give the recap, the plot. You do it.
Okay, this movie is about a group. Well, it's about a boy who moves to the Valley. It appears in Los Angeles. He has no friends. He ends up befriending a group of kids who are like kind of bullies, but there's one really nice boy. And they all become best friends. They have like the best summer of their lives. And then, of course, like every other coming of age movie, at the end they discuss how they separate and never see each other, and it's sad.
Yep.
There's like there's a huge like villainous dog that they have to like defeat in order to get a ball. He steals a Babe Ruth signed ball from his stepdad. It gets hit into the next yard. The dog is like going to eat them if they go back there and get it. So they have to contrive a way to get the ball back without his stepdad finding out.
They do. His stepdad, Dennis Leary, with only one N in Dennis.
Only one. That's a weird Dennis. Okay. Dennis. So it's April 7th, 1993. Bring yourself back. It's like school's almost over. It's spring. You're a little baby. I couldn't find a budget for this movie or Now and Then, which I think is weird because that's never happened. And the two coming of age movies that we do, no budget. It made less than Now and Then. It did $34 million. So it did $3 million less than Now and Then at the box office.
I guess parents weren't taking their kids to the movies back then because we were still allowed to play outside or something.
I guess you're probably right. So the director was David Mickey. Evans, David Mickey Evans, who did First Kid and Radio Flyer. But the composer,
love First Kid.
I know. The composer is really where things fall into place for us. So okay. The composer is David Newman.
Okay.
Here's a list of movies. Monster-in-Law, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, The Affair of the Necklace, Simone, 102 Dalmatians, 101 Dalmatians, Bedazzled, Broke Down Palace, Never Been Kissed, Anastasia, Matilda, Nutty Professor, Sloan, Viva Rock Vegas.
No.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
What?
Tommy Boy, Coneheads, what? The Mighty Ducks. What a composer boner.
I have full body chills.
No, I'm telling you, this man has done every movie that we've mentioned on this podcast or will be doing. I mean, we have Broke Down Palace and Operation Dumbo Drop on an active list.
Oh my God. It is an active list. Ever changing, but
it's not even a list that like where we're like, we'll do it someday. Like we have a plan to do it like in the near future. It's like,
yeah, it's happening.
We have to do Viva Rock Vegas.
Zach, I've asked you to do Viva Rock Vegas like 2000 times.
I don't think you have, but we have to do
definitely,
Viva Rock Vegas.
Definitely have, but it's fine, whatever. Viva
Rock Vegas. Okay, so ages are going to be quick. I only have two of them. Dennis Leary was 36.
Whoa.
Karen Allen was 42, and all the boys were between 12 and 15.
Okay. So they cast actual boys.
They cast actual boys. They didn't cast like
like a Timothy Chalamet who's 30 and playing.
Like yeah. They didn't cast like 40-year-olds to play.
It was like a very like muscly, busty, a muscly a and bussy. A muscly bussy is the worst thing in the world.
I know that this is not, so this is my Now and Then. I know that this is not Sloan's movie, but this was my Now and Then. I watched this like probably 14 times a summer. Like,
yeah, I watched it all the time too, God. Don't know why. Cause like upon this rewatch, I was like, what about this movie drew me in? There's like nothing for me.
It was like funny though. It's funny. They're like some of the boys are funny.
It definitely has good lines.
When he just says like when that kid goes, yeah, he's looking pretty crappy.
the shit talk scene between like the what I was actually like laughing at that scene.
So I literally texted you immediately and said these boys remind me of you.
I know. What did that? Whoa. Ooh. Hey Rex, you want to come and say hi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he clothed?
No. Okay. Guess what we're doing?
What?
We're podcasting.
On Titanic?
No, not Titanic. We're doing a movie called The Sandlot. Come talk about the movie that we watched last night.
What did a fun time.
Okay. What did you watch last night?
Bolt.
Oh, I've seen that.
Okay. Hey, where's Papa?
He's taking
the dog on
a walk
because the dog is
cool.
Okay, well, do you want to go upstairs?
Yeah, I guess I can.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Let's edit that. We're just going to have to do a little babysitting right now, Zachy.
I love that Paul just abandoned your child.
I'm going to
focus on
your head.
Okay. Okay, we're having a time.
If it's not a dog,
we're having a time. Do you want to talk to Zach?
Oh, yeah, I can talk to
him. Okay, here.
Hi, okay.
Hi, Zach.
What are you doing?
I'm the flying along. It's cool. Airplane I built.
You made that?
Yeah, and look at how good it flies.
Okay.
Pretty good.
That's actually like really good.
It's really good.
I built it at camp.
Who's like your favorite person at camp?
Maybe Ken or Isaac.
Yeah, I think. Do they come over and play ever?
Isaac said that both he's gonna come over again. Ken and get at the fleet fold time can come over. Everybody want to come over. Mom, can we do that?
Yeah, you want to have them come over?
Of course I do.
Okay, what are you going to do with them?
Just make sure there's no cockroaches.
We have a cockroach again this morning.
Oh, yeah, of course again. I spotted it and I like freaking out.
Yeah.
And also, it is on the floor and it probably can like chase me around a little bit. I'm crazy.
Disgusting.
That is crazy.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
You do?
I kind of do.
You should put one in. You should have your mom buy you one of those bug things and put one in there.
No, don't listen to Zach. He's talking crazy. Do you want to tell Zach what you made for breakfast? Because we have...
I made bug cake.
Bug cake?
Bug cake.
Oh, okay. Mug. I thought you meant you used the bugs to make cake.
Well, mug cake.
I have a mug cake in my cupboard. Ah! It's 4 years old, but...
Okay. Google, just put a yucky mug cake in your cupboard and leave it there. That is really disgusting. And also... And crazy.
It's disgusting and crazy.
The cake isn't made. Rex thinks that you're putting an already made mug cake away in your cupboard to rot.
Okay. No, it's in the box still. It's still in the box. Mix. It's still in the box. Don't worry. I'm not that gross.
So what movie are you going to come on and talk about? You're going to do Titanic?
No, maybe a different movie.
What movie?
Both?
I don't know. Maybe Meet the Robins.
Meet the Robins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you forced your mom to listen to the Bolt soundtrack yet?
No. What do you love to listen to?
Bolt soundtrack.
No, you don't. What do you ask to listen to every day?
Metallica.
Metallica every day. What's your favorite Metallica song?
Well, I haven't heard all of the songs, so right now it might be Seek and Destroy.
Seek and Destroy?
Wait. It might be Atlas Rise.
Atlas Rise. Hey, Pa. All right, go with Papa because I have to finish with Uncle Zach. Papa, why don't you come and find Rex so I can finish?
Come finish Mama off.
Hey.
This is a real... Oh,
there he is. Ah!
Ah! It's like dicks everywhere.
Whoa.
Cool.
Let's go, man.
Bye, guys. Can you close that door, Papa? I am so sorry.
That's a clean cut, though.
It's a clean cut. I promise to take all of that out. I might leave in like one cute part if there was one. Sorry about that. And we're back.
Okay. So stepdad trope. So this is the second movie in a row. So we chose this movie because it's like a similar aspect of Now and Then with like the group of young gendered people. However, I didn't realize how many of this of similar, like the stepdad thing was like very prominent.
It was this, but this was a, we had a widow, there was a widow trope and a stepdad trope.
Right. And they had moved in together for the first time, it seemed like, and he was a nice stepdad.
He was a nice stepdad. He was preoccupied, but he also had, you know,
he was absent.
Yeah. He had a dorky kid who wanted to just play with, you know, Kinects and Lincoln Logs and didn't know who the Great Bambino was.
Right. And I have to appreciate, like, I'm going to shock people, but I was not an athletic child.
You weren't a sport girly?
I wasn't a sport girly. I did play tennis for a long time, but like, I mean, that's, come on. So, but I was never like pressured or made to feel bad about it, which is, I appreciate.
Can I just tell you that you talking about your tennis career is the same energy as Dakota Johnson talking about limes? Sometimes she loves limes. Sometimes she hates limes. Sometimes she's allergic to them. Sometimes you've played
tennis. That's not the truth, Ellen.
Sometimes you've played tennis your whole life. Other times you've only played for a week.
No, that's because in high school. Competitively, it was a minute in time.
I got it.
My grandmother signed me up for private tennis lessons, which I did for a long time.
I get it. So you did like fun, just learn how to play tennis for a long time.
I was left alone with a tennis instructor for hours, twice a week.
As we all were.
Was I molested? I don't know. If I was, it was blacked out. I don't know.
Do you remember your childhood?
I do.
You weren't molested.
Okay.
So. our tennis instructor, I did tennis with a group of four girls, and he quit on us because he said he couldn't do it anymore, which I don't blame him. We were like a bunch of seventh grade girls. It must have been absolutely insufferable.
Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to, my grandmother signed me up and my cousin, who was the same age, and then she broke her ankle, and then it was just me, and then she never came back. So
yeah. And her ankle never came back either.
Her ankle never came back, honestly. So, but okay. I will say, I do appreciate the fact that as a boy growing up in the 90s, I was always forced to try everything. But the second I said, fuck this, I didn't have to do it anymore.
Because your parents didn't want to have to drag you to the lessons and fight you every single
My dad time. Did, but my mother literally, the second I was like, Mom, I don't want to do baseball, she was like, thank God.
Honestly, as a mom, like, I'd be like, yep, we're done with that. Great. We're Sounds done. Like a great plan. Love done. That for you.
If you Quick. Make me waste my Saturday morning at a freezing cold baseball field one more time, I am going to lose it.
I mean, how many Saturdays did I just lose to soccer? To you?
That's
soccer?
What I'm saying.
I'm going
You back. Know what, though? You know what, though? The difference is there is something, for me at least, I do enjoy a crisp fall morning at a soccer field.
Sure.
With a hot coffee, maybe a pastry.
Zachary, sweet Zachary, you think you have time in the morning before soccer to go get a leisurely coffee and pastry? I don't think so, sweetheart.
I think a lot of people do. I just don't.
Have you ever seen, like, in an army movie where they open the plane door and they start yelling, go, 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 go? That's the energy of a Saturday morning youth soccer. I think that's all parents in the morning.
Oh, no. What I mean, though, is like, I don't mean like during the soccer. I just mean like we're going through the Starbucks drive-thru. Like, I'm not going to go there without a hot latte.
Okay. I'm just telling you that you're not going to have time for that. I'm just letting you know you're going to have to wake up at 5 a.m. because you're going to have to find the cleats and the soccer shoes and the soccer socks you're going to have forgotten it the night before. Nothing will be washed.
I'm a childless person who is going to say to you, I would never do that.
Okay. You'll see. You'll all see. If you're listening to this, you'll all see.
My favorite part about being a 30-something childless person is
the advice,
like,
you can offer.
Is advice I can offer, and like me telling parents that I would never do that. That would never be my life. And like, it really sets people off.
You know, when you become a parent, you get to a point, you know,
What the fuck is that?
Rex has never played down here before. So right now is probably the best time to do that.
It sounds like he's playing with rusty springs.
He is. There's an old, it's like an old rusty Model T down here that he's taken apart.
Okay. It sounds like he's on one of those horses with the rusty springs where you like.
He is. He is. We just gave him some spoons and some bottles and we said, have fun. Have fun, kid. Depression.
Okay. All right. Where is Papa?
Okay. Where's Papa?
There's a dick in my face again.
Okay.
All right. I'm playing you, Mama.
Okay.
I love playing.
You like putting me in handcuffs? Okay. Okay. All right. That's good. Perfect. I love it.
I can't walk.
Right. We're going
to go upstairs. Can't. All right. Love you guys. Maybe not so many bells.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love handcuffing Mama.
Okay.
He's like, I heard that Mama's a second class citizen, so I'm going to murder her.
Yeah. I think Rex just came for me, like, on the Pence Force squad and is taking me away. To the island.
Pence Force.
Pence Force 5. Oh my God. I'm so scared.
Anyway. All right.
Rex
sorry.
Would definitely rat me out to like any kind of secret police.
Of course.
Like 100%.
Yeah. The way Benny the Jet Rodriguez had a hold over me.
Listen, I feel like I chose my husband based off of like my childhood crush on Benny the Jet. Also, like, why was Benny so nice to the main?
Smalls.
Why can't I remember his name? I always think Smalls is the big guy.
Hambino.
I always think Hambino, but now
who is like a comedic
kid is amazing.
The comedic timing of this kid when he's heckling the batter and he's like, hey, is that your sister out there?
Incredible. He is so freaking funny.
Oh my gosh.
He's so good.
Honestly, like, a lot of the kids are, I mean, when they're like using the contraptions and he's like, I forget what he says, but he's like, you got it. Pull her up.
Squints is so funny. Squints is so good.
Squints is so funny. And then Sloan, we watched The Sandlot, okay, and days weird. Later, Sloan got was on Sandlot Talk.
2 days later, I got a TikTok that last night at Squints like 1 a.m. Squints Talk, 1 a.m. Just an image of a woman's visage comes on screen and says, this is my childhood crush. Let me tell you how it's going today. And it was just pictures of Squints and then Squints today, which is a very different Squints than the Squints of yesteryear. However,
actually, unfortunately, it's not. Oh. It's still Squint. It's like,
it's still Squints.
Something about child stars is that they age badly, but at the same time, they don't age. So,
well, it's I'll post the TikTok for you guys. You guys,
no, but what I'm saying is, like, they always look like old children. Like,
oh, I know what you mean. Like Beans, like, looks like Beans.
Yeah, like still. They don't turn into grown-ups. They just turn into old children.
Well, when you think about it, we're all old children. Or we're young old people.
Okay. This could, all right.
You know what I
so
mean?
So anyway, I don't know why Benny the Jet was so nice. I texted my sister and I said, I'm already getting teary eyed because of how kind Benny the Jet is.
There was to no this reason.
Stranger. He was so sweet. I actually think that if this movie were made now, it might be like kind of a gay thing.
It had very gay undertones for sure.
The boy was gay.
The Smalls boy was gay. Gay. The everybody was gay. And then at the end, when Benny the Jet Rodriguez is a MLB star, but he looked very gay then because of the mustache.
I wish that they had see the good thing about now. So we complain about this now, but I think in this situation it would have been successful. Like, he should have been hot.
The older guy?
Older Benny.
I thought he was hot, but I have a thing for Latino guys with mustaches. So what do I know about anything?
He just looked like
a run of the mill guy.
Yeah.
People weren't hot back then.
No, I know you're right. And we appreciate that most of the time. I just guess I didn't at the time.
Like Karen Allen was beautiful and she has such beautiful. a unique beauty. Like, she's very kind looking, but she's so pretty.
She looks like a mom that I would really Zach. Like to get.
Zach, that's your MILF. That is your
I would love to get my head under those breasts.
I mean, I just feel like she would smell like warm cookies and like laundry soap.
Oh my gosh. Would
just be, and maybe like fresh roses from the garden.
Her soft body looked so good. My God.
But it was like soft and like limber and like the tan freckles. It was really just sunspots. It's sun damage.
It's sun damage. And I love
sun damage on an older woman. It makes me feel comforted.
I come from a beach family and all the women that raised me have sun damage and I love it.
I know. We love a melanoma. We love a basal cell carcinoma.
Oh my gosh. We all go, my whole family goes to the same dermatologist.
That's so cute. Under the boardwalk. Cute.
Yeah, we meet under the boardwalk. We meet a troll
checking your mole.
We just give a guy 10 bucks and he gives us a full body scan.
Yeah, he goes, you know what? A, B, C, D, that one's looking a little asymmetrical. So you might want to get that checked out by a real doctor and not me, the troll who lives under the boardwalk.
Dr. Troll. I would really like to spend some time on men's rooms and why I hate them, like trophy rooms, like man caves. I hate them so much.
Okay, so my dad is an athlete. He holds many state records in wheeling in West Virginia because he's
from West Virginia.
No, my dad elected to go to military boarding school for fun because he's literally a lunatic. So my dad went. Or what? Gay. Yeah, he's gay. So he went to military boarding school in the late 60s through the early 70s. And he, no, sorry, let's see. Yeah, well, 54, 64. Yeah. So late 60s, early 70s. And he holds a bunch of titles in West Virginia for running. He's like an amazing sprinter. And he has ribbons and trophies and medals. And he just lugs them from house to house. and he's like won all these life insurance awards, and he has all the sports memorabilia because my dad is a huge baseball person. It's very much the energy of Dennis Leary. So we have Roberto Clemente stuff all over his, he has one wall that I didn't even realize until my last visit there. He's had this thing where I was like, why does he have all of these ribbons that are just like falling off a canvas? And I finally realized that he's arranged the ribbons that he's won into the position of a man running. And I finally realized it the last time I was there. He did an art project. I'm going to make him take a picture so I can send this to you. It's literally when I realized what it was, I was
like, there's something so sick about like grown men and trophies.
It's really weird. And collecting other people's trophies or like sign stuff is like, for what? For what?
I've seen multiple celebrities where I didn't even want to like look at them. Like I was like, I thought looking at them was cool enough. Like I was like, oh, there's that person. Like
it's fun to see a celebrity in person. You're just like,
but I don't want their autograph. I don't want their autograph.
I can't imagine.
I barely want a picture.
I was like thinking if like, this is so weird you just said that, because I was like, who would I take a picture with if there was a celebrity? And it's really just Bravo celebrities. Like that's, those are the only people I'd ask.
So for me, it would, yeah, I guess a Bravo celebrity, or it would have to be like a really like something.
Like Brendan Fraser, obviously.
Brendan Fraser. Like, yeah, like something that meant something to me.
Rachel,
not just right, of course, like Kate Winslet, something where like I would cry if there were a celebrity that would make me cry out of sentimentality, then I would want to take a picture.
I feel like Kate Winslet would really get you going.
Sloan, I would literally start crying in her face.
I would start crying if I got to meet Jim Carrey, just because I love his work in the Sonic franchise so much. And I gaslit us into his thinking swan we song. Would. But what a swan song it was.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so.
You really need to get. Have you I'll seen Sonic it. 1?
I haven't. I'll do a marathon.
Do you promise day. Me you'll watch Sonic 1 first, though? Because it's
when I come stay with you, heart. We'll watch both.
You know who I really want to meet? I'm going to tell you something on this podcast that you've never heard me say before. I'm going to tell you my favorite male celebrity other than Kevin James. And this is not somebody I want to make love to. This is just somebody that I respect so highly and admire. That's Mr. James Marsden. The heart and soul he brings
of Second Noah.
Of Second Noah. The heart and soul James Marsden brings to his films. I feel like he would have been a great addition to this cast. He should have played the older man.
I'd like to see him nude. Smalls.
Well, in Sonic 2, he has a big nude scene where he and Sonic make love. Swinging. Yeah, that he fucks Sonic. No, in Sonic 2, there's a scene where it's like a beach volleyball scene and he's playing against all these like big buff boys and they're trying to pretend that James Marsden isn't like a ripped zaddy. And it's like, we can see your six pack through your t-shirt. What are you guys trying to do here?
I hate that.
It's like James Marsden is very in shape. This is something that Paul and I have discussed at length that really takes us out of the Sonic 2 viewing experience is when they pretend that
he's like a dork. He's like a fat dork.
Yeah, he's like a fat idiot. We're like, this is James Marsden.
He's like cooler than all of us.
He's just like, looks like such a nice dude.
I know. I think that he actually, yeah, like I actually think that they should cast him in like the Fast and Furious franchise to like take over the Paul Walker.
That's actually a great energy. Like the brother of Paul Walker. That's actually a
something
great
like a cousin. Yeah, like
Paul's
something.
Older brother.
Yeah.
Zach, again with the inspired casting. Inspired.
I just don't know. I know, and it's too bad because here we are just making a podcast. We have so many talents.
Hey, Paul, don't you think that James Marsden would make an amazing like replacement for Paul Walker in the Fast franchise?
Paul's horny.
He definitely is, but he always is. So that doesn't really count. I didn't realize how much like we're talking James Marsden. Don't you think that James Marsden would make a great replacement for Paul Walker in the Fast franchise? Like James Marsden,
not as
Paul Walker, but like Paul Walker's like older brother.
I mean, yeah, James Marsden is a blank slate.
He's a blank slate, he says.
I love that.
We project our wishes onto him, Paul says. We do. Okay. Love that you guys have never played down here before. I think now's a great time. think it's the perfect time. It's like next time Paul has a hearing, I'm going to come to his office and be like, Rex just wanted to come sit outside.
Play with your encyclopedias in your office.
This is just to show you how second class citizen woman I am. My job, which is podcasting.
Well,
which-
moms are, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you only think a mom is incredible when you hit the age of 30.
Yeah. Well, I'm really useless right now.
So you've got some time.
It's really just like the way I am such an invisible character in my own life.
I mean, within the last 6 years, I have really, it's like really hit me what my mom's life was like when I was a kid. And I'm like, what the, like, why was I such an asshole?
You definitely get it now that you're older, but until you're in the muck and mire of raising a child, you just like can't know what it was like for your mom. Can't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just like think of myself coming. I think of myself sitting in like gym shorts and a disgusting t-shirt all summer long, sitting on my couch doing nothing. And my mom, who started working, like she started working again when we were like in high school. So like worst time to do that. She would leave us money for food, go to work, come home, and there would be like piles of dishes, boxes of pizza. I would be a sweaty teenager watching TV and be like, fuck you. I would never say that, but like, no. She'd be like, hey, do you think you could like, just
mom,
take the- she could literally would be like, do you think you could just like take the trash out? And I'd be like, mama, I'll do it.
Dude, you're so annoying.
Oh my God, you don't even get it. I'm going out.
Oh my God. I was going to do it until you asked me to do it. Now I'm just annoyed.
I'm going out. Bye.
Why is it so annoying?
Zach, slam door.
When you're going to do something.
Well, that is really annoying.
It, and then someone asks you to do it. You're like, it sends me into a rage. That is like not, it's not so normal.
That's literally the biggest fight that my mom and I would ever get into is that like, she would be like, at some point, take the trash out. I'd be like, okay, whatever. And then she would tell me, then like an hour would go by and she'd be like, take the trash out. And I'd be like, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
And I would always be like, and I'd be like, if you want it done now, you can do it.
I'll do it on my terms. I'm not going
to
do it on
your terms. I will do it. You just have to be patient.
You need to just sit back and wait. There's nothing I hate more than when
then I'd be like, what's for dinner?
Yeah, you're like, while I'm working up to taking out the trash, what are you doing for me?
What are you doing? Can you clean up this kitchen that I just destroyed? Because what's for dinner?
I'm hungry.
Oh, and by the way, mortgage is due and I don't have any money.
Oh, mom, by the way, I have a bake sale and a history project due tomorrow and I haven't started either. And it's 12 a.m. So what are we going to do about that?
And then she's like, I made you beef bolognese. And I'm like, actually take me to Taco Bell, you bitch.
Did you even write her a thank you note?
Of course not. For her bolognese. I'm just kidding. I really love my mother and she has done so much for us. But when you're a teenager and you're sweaty and disgusting,
you don't realize what goes into just a silent partner in your home. Because when things are going smoothly, it's because your mommy's working extra hard to make things run smoothly. So you don't know that there's another way things could go.
I'd be like, oh, thank God you're home because I need to use your car, you idiot.
You just don't know. Anyway, back to the sandlot.
Like, so sad. Anyway, so sad. I'm sorry I did that to you, mom, for like 5 years.
So we have some casual sexual assault in this film that turns into romance.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do first want to talk about, I want to mention a narrator that always makes it more sentimental. A narrator always brings you into the zone.
Always. If you have a narrator in your 90s movie, it's like, okay, let's buckle up for some sentimentality. It's time.
Here we go. I also want to talk about us as children villainizing, picking someone in the neighborhood or something in the neighborhood and villainizing it.
Yeah, we got that heavy in Now and Then, and we have that in this movie. You have to have a villain.
We had Mr. Brederson in my neighborhood where he was a man who was probably 50, mm-hmm. but in my mind, he was 90.
Yeah.
And he lived with his mother who needed help. But in my mind, I was like, oh, he lives with his mom. He's probably poisoning her. Yeah. And like, well, she And he would like sweep his driveway. Every time it would rain, he'd sweep the water off his driveway. And I thought that was so fucking weird.
I hate people in my neighborhood that do like weird neighborhood shit.
Yeah. And he would like yell at us if we were like playing on the fence, and like the fence that he built. And like my sister and I would pretend alligators were.
There's always one.
And we would crawl across the fence and he'd be like, get off the fence. And my dad would come out.
In his defense, you're playing alligators on top of his fence. That's probably.
Oh, no. Totally. My dad would run out in his 1990s 2-inch inseam shorts.
So tight. So short.
And be like, what the fuck did you say? Like, and it was just like, it was
beef. You guys had a beef.
We had beef with Mr. Bredersen. So we thought that he was a murderer.
We have a neighbor across the street that is, I don't know their name. I know everybody on my block. I have a very friendly neighborhood. I don't know these people. I've never even seen them come in or out of their home. Not once ever. They're across the street from me, like across the street, one house over. My directly across the street neighbor couldn't be sweeter. She just had AstroTurf put in her backyard, like the whole backyard AstroTurf. The neighbor called the city and said they didn't take out a permit for this AstroTurf. And the city came and made her rip it all out, get a permit just to put it back in. That is evil. Like, what do you care about this woman's backyard?
Yeah, like, what does it affect your life?
This person just sits in their house all day. It's like an older person. They just sit in their house all day complaining.
I would knock on their door and be like, do you feel better now? And now, like, let's take a break for a second from the Sandlot, since we're being so diligent. All of you, none of you are listening to this, but all of you poor, disgusting Republicans who have no money and nothing to say for yourselves and nothing that you own or are proud of. When the 11-year-old girl who was raped by her father is forced to give birth in a state that you've never heard of and you will never meet her.
Mm-hmm. It's a win.
Now, yeah. Do you have health insurance now? Are you wealthy now?
Misery loves company.
Right. So are you just happy because now everyone's miserable? Like what?
I can't imagine being a kind of person that is like, I don't like that for you. So you shouldn't do that.
We don't all believe in one.
We don't all believe in one thing. So it's like, maybe we should all have the option, the choice.
I just have never wished. I hate that I wish such horrible things on people because of these situations.
I'm thinking about storming the Capitol again, but for different reasons this time.
I said something yesterday at work that was so dark about a person.
What did you say?
I'm not going to repeat it on here.
Okay.
But no, I work with a 73-year-old Republican who will watch Fox News in the break room.
You should ban that.
Well, it's coming. And it's a lot. And I've like been kind of quiet. I did flip out when we got back from COVID about the Black Lives Matter thing, but I said something so horrible about her family yesterday at work. And
sure
I do this
true.
I did. No, I wished something upon them.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that far. I don't like to wish harm on people. Well, that's not true. I wish harm on Ted Cruz. I wish harm on
I don't want to wish harm on people, but
I never want them to rest a moment.
When I wish harm on someone, it's a sense of justice in my mind. Well, it's not that I'm just wishing that they die. Like I'm wishing that the thing that they're impeding on other people happens to them.
In The Princess Bride, where Wesley is like, I'm not going to kill you, Prince Humperdinck, because I want you to live a very long life.
Yeah.
That he like is going to scar him and take off his ears and cut off his nose. That is, I want Ted Cruz to live 150 years, but I want all day long that rubber chicken that Rex was just playing with in the background that goes, wah! I want Ted Cruz to hear that at like very random intervals throughout the day. I want, as soon as he's resting, the rubber chicken makes the noise. I want him to never have rest.
I want when people get an abortion now going forward, when you get an abortion in states where it's legal or countries where it's legal, what have you, I want you to have to prove the party you voted for.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call.
I want, because I would bet you any money, I would bet you a lot of money that the majority of people getting abortions are white Republican males who are forcing their accidentally knocked up one night stands and side pieces to get abortions.
Yeah, they sure are.
Because because newsflash, nobody likes abortion.
The Republicans seem to think that liberal women just love to just fuck with like raw, love.
Yeah.
And then just go pot. Like we are. Who
needs the pill?
No, our day is we get on Tinder. We eat hot chip. We lie. We have sex. We get pregnant. We vape, head over to Planned Parenthood, get an abortion. And the cycle repeats. We go out cycle that repeats. Night and
rinse
we just
and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. They act like an abortion is something that like women just do like very flippantly and it doesn't affect the rest of their whole fucking lives and think about it every day of their life. Trust me,
Jill
women
Zarin.
Do.
Did you hear? Did you see that?
Did she have?
She just yesterday she released a video saying that in her late teens she had an abortion. And she said, do I think about it every day? Yes. She said, at times, do I wonder if I made the right choice? Of course.
Of course.
But she said, but I would have had an incredibly different, much harder life if I went through with that.
And here's the thing, guys, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. And she just said, but she said it was my choice. She said it was my choice to do so.
Yeah, it is your choice. And like, there's something that like the Republicans, and I believe this has to do with the Bible. The Bible was created because the ruling class of people needed to give the lower class people something to believe in, which is the meek shall inherit the earth. So if you work hard and you suffer and your life on earth is a living hell, you'll go to heaven and be rewarded. But you just have to work really hard on earth and not enjoy anything and just be okay with being poor and destitute and all of that shit, right? And so that's because the ruling class that doesn't believe in the Bible or any of that shit is like, yeah, that's all true. You'll go to heaven. Now, can you sweep my floors? Can you plow my fields? Can you do all of this shit? It's a distraction. Nobody should be forced to live with a decision that makes their life harder. Life should be easy and simple. Life should not be a struggle at all times. It shouldn't be. It just shouldn't. Like, we shouldn't have to go to work. We shouldn't have to pay bills. Like, we're on this like floating ball in the middle of outer space that has berries and oceans and breezes. And we're forced to sit in front of these fucking computers and cherries. And we're forced to labor our lives away and make everything so difficult. Like, let a woman get rid of a baby if it's going to make the mom's life and the baby's life hard. It's not. It's a bunch of cells. Like, let somebody live an easier life and don't make them feel bad about it. We don't need to struggle. There's no need to struggle. Why do the Republicans want us to struggle so badly?
I don't know, but we should just get rid of body autonomy completely.
I wish I could just get rid of my body completely.
We should just do it completely. So everybody has to get a vaccine.
Yeah.
You don't want any choice. Don't want any choices? Fine. Let's not anyone. Vaccine. Nobody can have choices.
No choices. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can't just kind of pick and choose when you get choices. It's like, you either have a choice.
Do you want to circumcise your kid or do you not want to?
I do.
Because
of the Bible.
Then you're all getting your dicks cut off. So
the Bible tells me so.
There we go.
It's just, it makes me crazy when people think that like, it's noble to struggle. It's not noble. You shouldn't have to struggle. Like, that's a lie you have been fed by the people that are in power. You shouldn't have to struggle. I'm sorry that people struggle. I really am. That's fucking shitty.
Here we are.
Sorry. All right. That took a turn. Wow. Anyway, religion's fake. Anyway,
raw steak to the eye.
So, question about that. Does that work? And who just has like a bunch of steaks laying around to slap on their
face? Well, I think in the 50s, it was common just to have a bunch of meat and butter.
Well, and if you're Paige and Jeff, I know Paige is listening. Jeff always has raw steak and butter in their house.
Mm.
And I think it might be for baseball injuries. I don't know.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, if someone took, unless I was Lady Gaga, if someone took raw meat and slapped it on my face,
I would throw up the smell.
I would puke.
The smell of like raw steak is bleh.
I feel like I can't, when I touch raw meat when I'm cooking, I'm like, well, I guess I gotta jump into a bath of like Purell.
Very, very quick. I don't mean to break topic again, but the ultimate Housewives girls trip XY fiasco. Brandy Glanville is making a lasagna, yeah, and she discovers her meat has maybe been left out for 24 hours and still cooks with it.
Yeah. Now, well, she's high as fuck.
She is high as fuck. Can you leave out meat for 24 hours and still cook with it?
I was wondering that because like, I'm not like, I am someone who pushes the boundaries of food safety.
I'm very safe.
I know, like my best friends are like, are the opposite of like, where like, if they have cream, if they like leave cream cheese out for 45 minutes in the morning, they're like, throw that away.
I get a little scared.
I'm like, I will not. I'll like literally just put it back and eat it. Like, I am not a nervous person about food at all.
I've just read so many horror stories about people leaving like pasta out on their counter and then getting like botulism. I'm not kidding.
But like, when you go to a party and you take and you dip a chip in dip,
Zach,
you might come back in an hour and do it again.
No. That's where you and I differ. I get to a party early and I want an intact cheese ball and I want a dip that still has a layer of crust on top from being baked. And I'll take a couple scoops and then I'm done with the dip. I don't go to a dip that's been out for a while. I'm not into that. Homie, but don't play that.
Will you not eat food at a party at all that's been out for an hour?
It depends on what the food is. It cannot be a dip. It's specific.
If chicken wings are sitting out for an hour. Oh no, you don't like eating birds. But like if pizza.
Yeah, I might take a piece of older pizza. But if it's late in the party, I'm hungry, I'm going to go up to the crudité platter and I'm going to like weirdly take a bunch of raw broccoli because I feel like that's my safest
cream
choice.
Cream cheese in the morning. So you're at someone's house, you wake up, there's schmear and bagels.
No, that's fine. I'll eat that.
Okay. Even though it's been sitting out for everyone else to have too.
My aunt Joy leaves her butter out on the counter with a little butter dish on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because that's okay to me.
My biggest food qualm is when I just want to spread some butter, but it's been in the fridge and I can't.
You just grate it. Grate it on top of the cheese.
Nobody wants to just start grating butter.
I do it all the time.
Anyway.
Back to Squints and Wendy Pfefferkorn.
Okay, fine. I did want to just bring up the treehouse. Before we get there.
I was like, there's a treehouse? So yeah, another
treehouse movie. Now we get to the second time we've discussed. Now there's another fake drowning. So we're discovering tropes that we weren't even aware of.
Another fake drowning. Oh, and also I sent this to Zach yesterday on like one of the big Instagram accounts. They posted a tweet about lying as a little kid and I still can't get over it. But
they lie in this too. They say something about how they all lied about seeing Playboy magazines.
They did indeed. Yeah. So there's another fake drowning. And this was, the
sexualization of Wendy Pfefferkorn.
Poor thing.
But she was hot.
So beautiful. So stunning.
So beautiful. And so the boys, for those of you who don't know, the boys just have this crush on this one girl who lives in town. And she's a lifeguard at the public pool,
I know, but she matches her lipstick to her swimsuit in the
She's stunning. The perfect little 50s ponytail.
It's so good.
And Riley she's like hippie.
She's just so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. Like that body. Anyway, so Squints, they're all in the pool and Squints is enamored by Wendy Pfefferkorn. And he says, fuck this. I've gone too many summers pining over this woman. I've done nothing about it. Yeah. I haven't raped her yet.
Yeah.
So he goes to the deep end and he can't swim. He dives in and just hopes that she'll save him.
It's a gamble for sure.
She saves him. She jumps in and gets him. She performs mouth to mouth and he grabs her head. And this magic moment, when you think of this movie, that's the scene you think about.
100%.
And she flips out, beats the shit out of him.
I think about the tequila scene on the ride.
Sloan, I blacked that out completely and forgot that it was in this movie. And I really was like,
that's the scene that I always think of.
I hate that scene.
It's really intense.
Talk about it. But so I also noticed in this pool scene that Benny the Jet Rodriguez is wearing cutoff denim. He's wearing jeans that he just made into shorts as a bathing suit.
Jean shorts in the pool?
Could you imagine that feeling?
That would sink you fast.
I also just wrote pool boners. Like, they're all like staring at this girl, like so horny. And I don't know if any of you have ever had a pool boner, Sloan. I don't know. But when I remember specifically getting pool boners, and when you're in a pool, you can't get out until it's gone. Like, you're nude. You only have the tricks of like tucking it behind your waistband, you can't do it because it's like you don't have a shirt on.
I would do a drag queen tuck with my real dick, and then I would put a fake dick in the swimsuit to give the illusion of bulge, but without the fear of boner.
It is really, I mean, I just remember being in a pool once, getting a boner for no reason, and then everybody getting out of the pool and me being like, I'm gonna swim a little longer.
They're like,
and the more you think about it,
like bleeding in the pool, you're like,
the harder it gets. Yeah, no, it's like, it's so being that age. Oh my God.
Do you have to think about something to like make it go down?
Well, no, because you try to do that, but all you're thinking about is your boner.
So you're just like, boops, 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 boops.
No, but it's like, you're like, but even if you're like not thinking about it, no, like you don't think about anything sexual. You just get boner. Like when you're in puberty, you just get boners. You're not horny. You're not.
That's horrifying.
It's really, but like you like pick up tricks. It's just the thing is that when you're like, when you're nude, except for a bathing suit, there's no hiding it.
There's no escaping.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm really sorry. That sounds really tough.
It like brought me back.
Sounds really tough.
I also, I also said like when you're a pubescent boy, like literally everything is sexual. Like,
oh my God. It's like
literally everything.
A pubescent boy and a 40-year-old divorced housewife have the same energy.
It's the exact same personality.
Everything is horny and everything is balls and everything is a sex joke. Every single thing.
and then when they're looking at Wendy, there is a sexy clarinet oboe that plays, and this is like kind of tropey for like, I don't know if it's 90s movies, but it's like when something would be sexy, it would be like a clarinet solo or like
a clarinet solo or like a saxophone.
It's like, it's not a saxophone, it's like an oboe. It's like it's like
I don't remember that exactly happening. Please,
I'm gonna find it.
But yeah, like for some reason the world decided that the sound of sexy is a woodwind instrument, which doesn't really make any sense. It's like the least sexy sound is like a horn. Like, how is that? Or I guess horny? Is that what they're trying to go with?
I guess. I don't know.
I would think it would be like drums, like something rhythmic and like sensual, but
drums make sense, like reggae.
Like,
or as Ramona would say, reggae. Yeah.
Like a heartbeat.
Or if it's like if it's a lesbian period drama, a violin.
A very fast paced, sexy violin.
Is a lesbian period movie. That's like such a lesbian period
that
drama.
That is so gay. A fast paced, gay, like stolen
glands.
You can
feel their pussy swelling. Yeah.
It's really, like, but like, yes, it's like very like the furiousness of the.
Yeah. It's fingering. That's what it's like.
Honestly, it's like this, like, that's the sound of sex, not.
That's like a finger that, like, straight guys think, like, girls like.
They really do.
You're, like, hammering it.
Oh my God, guys are so stupid.
Just beating the shit out of a vagina.
I have been on the receiving end of some.
And you're just like.
Stoof. You're just like, okay. Maybe this will end. Wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then I just like go in the bathroom like, I did it myself. Yeah. Oh, To be young so again.
I do want to talk about the trope of contraptions, 90s contraptions, kids making contraptions.
Zachary. Let me tell you, as the owner of a 5-year-old boy, I was cleaning out a little bit of the toy room yesterday, and I just kept saying, what is this? It was like strings attached to dumbbells, attached to one snowboarding glove, attached to some dominoes. And I'm like, and Rex is like, that's a Rube Goldberg machine. I'm like, oh, yeah. Sure it is.
Yeah. Boys like loved contraptions, especially back in the 90s. And
I literally have a box of contraptions right here.
Okay. Well, that's.
I literally have a contraption box my desk. So
point proven.
But like every movie, every Friday night, I watch a kids movie with Rex, and every movie without fail. Contraption. We watched Goonies. Their whole house is contraption.
Was that your first? Hadn't you never seen Goonies?
Yeah, I'd never seen it before.
Until the other day?
Yeah, until like a few months ago.
Oh my God. I don't know if I love the movie, but I loved it as a kid.
It's pretty good.
What's his name? It's so hot.
Josh.
Josh Brolin, yeah.
I was going to say Josh Dillon. I was getting very confused. Matt Dillon. Josh's Dillon.
Sloth.
Sloth was sexy. Well, you know, I love a man with a facial deformity.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Then Flubber, we did Flubber, all contraptions, obviously. Oh, yeah. Richie Rich contraptions, Honey, I Shrunk the Kid contraptions. Mm-hmm. I mean, the contraption movie,
it's
Home
insane.
Alone contraptions. Like, we were made to think if we couldn't make contraptions, we were not living.
We weren't children.
Pranks, contraptions, traps. Pranks, contraptions, traps. It's all one and the same.
Do you remember the movie The Paper Brigade?
Now and Then had contraptions too.
When?
When they were doing like the blink,
oh, yeah.
The lights and the pulley.
Yeah.
Contraption. Sorry, I don't remember The Paper Brigade. I know what you're talking about, but I don't like fully remember it.
Okay. Do you remember House Arrest?
Yes, of course I remember House Arrest. We were going to do House Arrest.
I know, we have to do House Arrest.
We're going to do it.
Maybe our back to schoolish section or something.
Do you remember Elliot Mintz, the publicist? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did you say that?
I just like have been compiling a list of like things I want to talk about from the 2000s, but we'll do that on a Housewives episode. Weird.
Okay.
I know.
Now we're getting toward the end, and they really hammered home like the depression of like losing friends in this movie. He says at one point that that every time a guy would leave, they wouldn't replace him. They would just play as if he were there. And I was like, they didn't die. Like, why are you making this so heavy hearted? Like,
cause you can't replace a friend that easily when you're that age.
And they say like, yeah, yeah. Or no, one of them disappeared. One of them like left. And he says that he really got into the 60s and we never saw him again. Do you think he got too into drugs and died?
Maybe. Yeah. I do think that's what they
meant. Was like really upsetting.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. It got a little depressing at the
end. And then it just shows them playing baseball, and one by one they're disappearing, and then Benny is alone.
That is,
I have full body goosebumps right now.
Me too.
Your best thing in life is playing baseball with these kids, and then you're just alone one time playing baseball, and you're pretending to be happy, you're pretending that you like it, but like. Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. I drove it home too much for Sloan.
I have like full body chills and I'm crying now.
It's just like too, I know. And it's like, cause we just, I don't know. We're too sensitive with children. It's like too sad. Like the ending of the ending of Now and Then was really sad, but at least they were together as adults at the end.
Yeah.
So it was like you knew that they had some time where they weren't together, but at the end of Now and Then, at least you're like, okay, well, they're at least in each other's lives. This movie was like, and then they do show Smalls grown up. He's announcing baseball games, and then he sees his best friend hit a home run.
I feel like he was a really one-sided announcer.
Friend. Oh, I know. Oh, no.
Like, that wasn't right.
He was like, some other guy got home, but what we're doing right now.
Sorry.
No, it's
You know what really got me at the end is when he has all the baseballs and like the little Babe Ruth that they wrote.
Babe Ruth. So in the movie, they
have one in the case, but then one.
In the movie, they lose a signed baseball. So Benny signs it Babe Ruth so his dad doesn't get mad.
Oh yeah, we forgot to tell you guys that part of the movie. They lose the baseball and Smalls doesn't know who Babe Ruth is. He's never played baseball. We forgot to tell this part of the film.
The Sultan of SWAT.
The what do they call him? What else? What's the whole thing?
I wish I knew, but
I'll insert it.
You're dead as a doornail, Smalls. Smalls, you mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah. Yeah, but I was gonna bring it back.
But it was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah. You keep telling me that. Who is she? What? The Sultan of SWAT.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Great Bambino!
I also think it was so, like, I don't know who decided to do this, but it's like introducing all of the kids with like different quirks was just like so smart. And Ham is just like, I mean, like literally the funniest person.
So funny.
You wear your mama's bras and you like it. Also a trope is like the villain is like the villain team, the opposing team.
Clean cut villain. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's also like this movie had so many plots. It was like
it was a lot of plots.
It was there was like an opposing team, a killer widow. Dog, a widow,
a blind baseball player with that just happens to have a collection of signed memorabilia.
It was just a really strange.
It was crazy.
It's a crazy movie, but it's just like, it's, I think you should, I didn't notice anything too bad in terms of like modern ways of thinking in it.
No, I think it's a totally cute, sweet, fine
it
film.
It aged well. Yeah.
It aged very, I think movies that are set in this time period, like Stand By Me also ages well. And I think the reason for that is because there's, when you don't have like technology from like the 80s, above, do you know what I mean? It's like movies stay kind of timeless, but you're technology right. Moves so fast after like the year 1980 that when you have anything that's sort of like tech in film, it ages it really quickly.
You're right. That's true. And I feel like there was not like there wasn't. I mean, the one of the main characters is like a Latino boy. There's a black kid on the team. There's no talk of race. There's no, like, they're all very sweet. They're all very kind to each other. They're supportive of each other. They do.
That's true.
What? Well, they do, I mean, force a kiss on Wendy Peppercorn and they sexualize her, but.
Yes, but the element
it's
of.
It's addressed.
It is addressed. And all, and we talk about this a lot where. A great movie that has kids or people from all different backgrounds and colors. And it's not like a plot point. It's just, that's the universe. Because when you're a kid, like that is the universe. Like you have, like you just have friends from all different backgrounds and you guys all play together. And it's like this like mixed up modge podge of people that you have to like your first group of friends like that, like multiple friends, that is such a like, an important time in your life because it teaches you so much about how to like how you're gonna have to always encounter different groups of people later in life, and like maybe you'll have like breakaway friendships and breakaway closeness with certain people, but like you learn how to assimilate into a group and how like the dynamic forms, and it's such an important like life skill.
I'm feeling very emotional.
Because this movie is like, I think obviously it's such a big part of our childhood, and like it's kind of like hard to watch these movies. Oh my god, now I'm getting emotional. It's like,
I know, here we go. During this situation.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Like it's hard because the world is hard right now, but also like I'm a mom and like I watch my kid playing with his friends and like growing up, and he's about to have all of these experiences, and I just like know how shitty the world is gonna get for him. And it's like, this is just like The Sandlot was like such a time.
It was pure.
It was so pure. And it's like that time of your life is so like everything matters 100 times more than it really truly does. Like like you think everything is just like, it's everything feels life and death when you're that age. Like everything.
And that's like kind of the point of the movie, like where they could have just gone to the guy's house and been like, we hit a really important volunteer year. Like,
and that's what the adult says. He's like, you could have just knocked on my door, but it's like, no, they have, like, you're a kid. You have to come up with,
you have to make contraptions. Plan.
Yeah. You have to do this whole thing.
The s'mores scene.
S'more what?
He's like, you put the Mallow on the gram.
You put the Mallow on the
gram. When the Mallow's a flaming.
Like, these are.
Kid is like a really good comedic actor. Like,
he's amazing. He's like so insane. Good. I'm going to like see if he's on Cameo and make him like do a promo for this.
Oh episode. My gosh. He probably loves doing Sandlot quotes.
We probably could have like honestly like reached out to him.
That's true. Well, but, like, this is just, I mean, I do want to talk about how much I hate, I don't want to talk about this, but how much I hate chewing tobacco. I
have you ever done dip or chew?
No. No. It's, ugh. Have you?
Oh, once in Missouri.
You know what? I feel like I knew people who did it before it was even like an option for me to try it. And it grossed me out to such an extent. People spitting into
a spittoon. I don't like spits.
The boys really that carry bottles that would just like spit into. It was always the hockey boys.
We didn't have hockey boys. We were in Miami.
Oh, that's true. All the hockey boys always did it.
I just loved because when I was little, I loved Big League Chew. That was like the best.
You
thing.
Would have also loved like hockey boys. I'm like now.
Oh my god, like, Zach! I would have been.
They were the most toxic.
A big chunky
attractive
boy.
Like suppressed gay, like
I love the gay energy of a hockey game. I love hockey. I like hockey's my favorite sport.
Oh,
to watch.
Oh, I mean hockey. When you grow up like in a northern town with like where hockey is like when you're in high school and like hockey is like a thing, it's like they'd be like, yeah, we were just all naked on the bus together, no homo, you fucking bitch.
The Panthers. <It's> like, yeah, it was like a lot of gay, like there's like a lot of gay stuff happening. They're like, yeah. Look, I'm gonna take all my fake teeth out so I can suck your dick on. No homo. Let me show you how it's done. The
roller coaster that this podcast is like, know, unhealthy. It's, really crazy. It's like, I'm sorry, really everybody. Unhealthy.
The Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup when I was a little kid. And this is when I was really into hockey and would like go to games with my dad. And they won the Stanley Cup and it was like the biggest deal ever. And I was a super big Penguins fan because my whole family's from Pittsburgh. I was like a hockey girl when I was little. I know, Zach, this is like a revelation. I loved hockey. It was the only way I could bond with my dad. There comes the darkness.
There it is. Here comes the darkness, little boy.
Here comes the darkness. But yeah, anyway, I did like, I would have loved to be with a big beefy hockey guy with a big pecs, hairy pecs.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of Henry Cavill.
Ruins your life. Yeah.
Life knocks me up. I can't get access to an abortion. I had his baby. He hits me a lot. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole vibe. It's well, vibe. Okay. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Sorry about all of that.
Yeah, you know what? It's not our fault when we decide to do a movie and then a horrible, like, world-changing event happens.
It's happening more and more frequently, though. I feel like we've said this on a lot of podcasts.
It happens more and more each day. So stay tuned. Next episode, gay rights.
will they have them? Stay tuned. The answer.
And just for the record, Sloan and I have never on this podcast declared our sexuality. So going forward, we are 100% straight.
We're actually straight Republicans and we love America and we drive Fords.
So God bless America. Mine has a decal of a boy peeing on
Biden.
On Joe Biden.
But it just says Brandon and piss on it. It's just piss on the word Brandon.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. Fuck the libs.
America. This is
you. Do.
We don't have any rights as girls. The gays are going next. We're gonna put you on a ship and send you. Okay, I'm sorry.
That theme song is so fucking good. And you just like, what is that?
Paul and I Googled it the other day.
How does it start?
Do you want me to look it up?
Again? No, it's fine. I'll do it later. But that's okay. A really good theme song.
Well, anyway, Paul and I YouTubed it to watch the video of the woman singing it. So just treat yourself to that, everybody. I'll just play it out here.
Okay. You can find us at Mummy Dearest Podcast on Patreon and on Instagram at Mummy Dearest Podcast. You can find me at Zach Mellon everywhere else.
And you can find me at I Am Sloane Steele and at Oh My Erotica and at Sloane Steele on Twitter. And I think it's I Am Sloane Steele on TikTok, where I am really heavily considering just trying to find the man who abused me as a child and taking revenge on him. So follow me along for that journey. I feel like that's what I'm going to do with my TikTok.
Okay. I love it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest Podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.